This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Heather Cannon from Tampa, Florida, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 24th, episode 1307. Good morning, Horse World.
It's rodeo time, ladies. Let's ride.
It's Women in Rodeo Tuesday with Heather Cannon, where it's Ladies Day every day.
It's the rodeo show.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this holiday Tuesday morning with Thanksgiving only 2 days away, believe it or not. Time to go shopping, people. And I want to apologize to the live listeners. We're starting a little late this morning. Heather's computer decided to blow up right before the show. So we have her on the phone. Are you there, Heather?
I am
so happy you're here, because I really didn't want to do a Women in Rodeo show all by myself.
That, oh, come on.
I am not qualified to be a woman in rodeo. So
well, we're all set now.
Yeah.
We're ready to roll.
We're good. Well, thank you so much for joining us again. Of course, Heather is here the fourth Thursday of every month, and we are there, believe it or not, in November, and only 2 days away. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Heather.
You too.
Now, we do have a full show planned. Jennifer, I hate to ask, do you have an on today show?
I have it on today's
show.
Yay, good. And correct me if I'm wrong, is this not the fourth Tuesday?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Just checking?
Yes, it is the fourth Tuesday. Yes, it's not the fourth Thursday. You're correct.
And once our co-host has swept up the remnants of her computer, we're going to have a rehash of her most recent adventures, and then we're going to have a check-in with another Heather Smith, who's got just short of a dozen barrel racing tips for us, and Miss Rodeo Florida Sheila Shiraz chats about her favorite stops during her reign in 2015, and then Lorinda Van Newkirk has the latest from Soul Sister, and then wrapping things up, Miss Rodeo America Lauren Heaton, who is the Scholarship Foundation board member, and Deb Dilley tell us about the Miss Rodeo America 2016 edition. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Actually, Heather, I'm really glad you didn't have one of your guns nearby, because I was afraid you were going to shoot your computer this morning. So.
I probably would have.
I figure right now it's laying outside in a heap in a 1,000 little tiny pieces.
It's time for a new one, let me tell you.
Well, I'm glad we could get this done. So now you've got a lot going on, and I think, do you have a daily Winnie for us, too?
I do.
All right, well, let's cue the music.
Ann Scott, a WPRA barrel racer and stunt woman who we recently had on the show, recently married steer wrestler Brad McGilchrist, and I'm hoping I'm saying that right. And he happens to be from Australia, and that's where they are spending their honeymoon. So I'm super excited for her. Congratulations, Ann.
Okay, so congratulations. But you know, when I looked at this, I went, because I got this on the mind, I have to get this accomplished over the next 2 days, is renewing my health insurance. And I'm looking at a barrel racer and a steer wrestler and thinking there's no way in heck they're ever going to get health insurance.
And a stunt woman.
Right, stunt a stunt woman. That's right. Yeah, forget it.
Yes, very true.
No insurance in their future. So, now, you said Brad, he's part of the Wrangler Network. What's the story there?
He's a steer wrestler, and I saw that the Wrangler Network had a nice story written up on him.
Oh, okay.
Just telling, about him coming over here and doing really well when he came over. So I don't know what he's doing here recently, but it was a really nice write-up that we can share on the Facebook pages later.
All right, sounds good. We'll put that on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page a little bit later on. And you have some announcements, too, that I bet you're really excited about.
I do. I was approved for the NFR media passes and will be covering the last night of the NFR. So that is something that has been on my radar and one of my wish lists, and finally this year it's going to happen.
Well, I'm so excited for you to get to do that.
Me too.
That's been on my bucket list, too, so I know. I know what you're talking
about. Well, this year I'm dragging my husband along, so he's going to be helping me. And they gave him passes, too, so he will be, if I do any interviews that are recorded for YouTube, he'll be the one doing the recording.
You know what? I got to tell you, that means you're real, because it's not easy to get NFR media passes, because everybody wants them.
It's not. And, you know, I knew how hard it was, and you're going to laugh at me, but I didn't tell anyone that I had applied because I just wasn't sure I was going to get them.
Well, you're right, and wisely so, because they are difficult to get.
That's right. So
we had to fight the first year we were out. We just started the Eventing Radio Show, and we had to fight tooth and nail to get passes to the Rolex 3-day event.
Right.
And it's because they're picky about those, too. And we had to fight tooth and nail. Now it's a little easier, but
you go every year now, right?
Yeah, we can get passes pretty much anywhere we want to now. But boy, back in those days, it was tough. We did the World Equestrian Games radio show and spent months trying to get passes for that. So it was, we did their radio show and we couldn't get past. It was an interesting time. But so congratulations. You must be doing something right.
Well, thank you.
And you have a mixer there, too.
I do. So I have teamed up with Soul Sister Lorinda Van Newkirk, and we are doing a Women in Rodeo mixer. That will be on December 11th, and it's going to be from 2:30 to 5:00. The location will be announced, and then we're hoping everyone will leave from there and go over to the Soul Sister Fashion Show. So it'll be a nice event. We'll have a nice gift basket that we will raffle off for guests that come to the mixer, and hopefully it'll be fun, something for the ladies to have a great time.
Very good. And Jennifer is indicating to me that you have, for the first guest coming up here shortly, you have just call office and not a phone number. So can you text me the phone number?
And then we can get it to her.
Sorry about this, guys, but we had no time for a pre-show meeting today with the computer issues that we ran into.
So while I'm doing that, why don't you tell us about, you had a trip to Monty Roberts recently.
Yeah, we went out to Monty's Flag Is Up Farm. Had a blast out there. We had a really good time. I got to ride, this will make a lot of people jealous, I got to ride one of Monty's horses in Monty's saddle. And by the way, Monty has a really nice squishy saddle. I like his saddle. It was the nicest saddle I've ridden in ever. And of course, his horse is very push button, as you would expect. Now, I am not a good rider. I'm a driver. I don't ride a lot, but this horse was doing things I had no idea what I was doing, but it made me look good.
Just sit down and hang on, right?
Yeah, it made me look absolutely wonderful, because
now I can't imagine that anyone wouldn't know who Monty Roberts is, but give us a little background real quick.
Well, Monty is the original Horse Whisperer from years ago. So he's been around forever. He trains the Queen's racehorses. He gets the Queen's racehorses started. He still does that at the age of 80. Still out doing 300 days a year on the road. Of course, Monty preaches nonviolence in any way with your horses. And Flag Is Up Farm used to be, it's out in California. It's in Solvang, California. And it used to be like 1,000 acres. I mean, it was really big. And then they started selling off pieces over the years, and now it's about 80 acres, but it's just absolutely beautiful. And when you stay in Monty's house, which we got to do, which was kind of nice, We got to check out all the pictures of him and the Queen, him and Ronald Reagan, him and James Dean, and all these movie stars that have been up to the ranch, because it's a very well-known ranch. And to give you an indication, we'll tease this now a little bit, for the Radiothon on Monday, we're doing 12 hours live on Monday here on the Horse Radio Network. For the Radiothon, Debbie Roberts, Monty's daughter, does a show on our network called Horsemanship Radio. Well, for the Horsemanship Radio Hour, Monty's going to be there. Debbie is going to be there. Monty's wife, Pat's going to be there, who's an amazing artist. And she got an interview with Bob Baffert, of course, the trainer of American Pharoah. So
wow,
he will.
Awesome.
Yeah, we recorded it yesterday. And let me tell you, it was really cool because he was talking about his childhood and, you know, and so some surprises that you didn't know. Very relaxed, laid back interview. And then he talked about American Pharoah, and the women in the audience are going to cry.
Wow.
So that's all coming up on Monday's show. But that's the kind of people they know. You know, they know
right.
Everybody. And everybody knows Monty, more importantly, I think, is they all know who Monty is. So.
Well, very exciting. So sounds like you had a great time.
Yeah, it was very cool. It was very cool to see that and spend time with Jamie, our other one of the other co-hosts here on Horses in the Morning. So that was good, too. Well, Jennifer is getting your first guest set up here, and I believe she is ready to go.
All righty. Do we have Heather on the line?
Yes. Do you want to introduce her quick?
Okay, everybody. We have Heather Smith of Heather Smith Barrel Racing. She's going to share some, her top 10 barrel racing tips with us today. Good morning, Heather.
Oh, you know.
Good morning.
Yep, there you go. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excellent. Thanks. How are you?
Very good. Very good. I'm so excited to have you on. I wanted to give you the floor for a minute to tell the listeners who you are and, you know, give us a little idea of your experience in the barrel racing world.
Great. Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. Well, to start with, you know, I didn't really grow up in a rodeo environment. And I think that actually, but you know, I had this love of horses that my mom always had horses, and I grew up in North Dakota, and it wasn't exactly the ideal environment for rodeoing either. But it was really something that I loved anyway. So it really became something that I had to go out of my way to choose. Like, it wasn't really an environment that was just there for me. And so that led me to purposely moving to Wyoming and then Texas to just put myself more so, you know, in that sort of environment. And along the way, I ended up just having a lot of challenging horses. And I think I've seen this pattern with other people who end up getting really inspired and committed to helping others, is that, you know, they've struggled themselves and they've been through challenges. And so it develops this just level of compassion and understanding for what other people are going through. And again, it's just been fueled, you know, for the fire, the motivation to really help people get to the other side of the same challenges, you know, that I've gone through. And so, you know, I haven't been to the National Finals Rodeo, and I don't necessarily have this huge long list of big time accomplishments, you know, but I've had a fair amount of success, and I've done, you know, I focused on reining for a period. I focused on, you know, starting colts for a period of time. So my experience is pretty spread out, but barrel racing is definitely, you know, my main focus. But it all just starts with a foundational love of horses, no doubt. And then again, this really intense drive to help others and just build partnerships that set people up for success no matter what they want to do. And I think with barrel racing especially, like, it's even more critical maybe than even some other disciplines to really have this absolutely unshakable, solid foundation, you know, to really set us up for success to reach our goals. So again, like I said, it's just, it's like a lot of people end up turning their mess into their message. And so I kind of think of myself as that way, where, you know, early on I had some challenging horses and I had to learn a lot and really struggled and really work hard. And it's what's inspired me now to help others. So.
Well, I love it. And before I forget, I have to ask you a question. I was listening or watching one of your videos on YouTube and you referenced Mary Kay Ash. Do you have a history with Mary Kay? Were you ever a consultant?
Yeah, actually I was. It's been quite a few years ago. Yes, over 10 years ago. But I do, when I said, I mentioned I had a history in reining, I know that you work a lot with rodeo queens, and that was actually something that I was very serious about for a period of at least like 5 years. I was like all into that. And, but that was during that period in time, yeah, where I was a consultant quite a few years ago. So yeah, she definitely has a lot of wisdom to pass on to all of us.
Absolutely.
So.
You know, that's something you and I share. I'm going to just touch on it really quickly, but, a lot of, I believe the business skills and leadership skills that I've developed came from my time with Mary Kay. So I was as well in Mary Kay for several years, and I grew up around my grandmother, who sold Mary Kay for, oh my gosh, as long as I can remember, and fully supported herself. And so a lot of the motivational and entrepreneurial spirit that I have comes from that time, and she has so many insightful things to share. So when I heard you speak of that and talk about the bee and all of that, it really, I just loved it, and I had to ask you.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
well, so let's dive into your tips. You're going to share your top 10 tips with us, and you do have a blog on that, because I'm sure we won't get to all of them, but we will share that for you everywhere that people can go and read up on it. So let's dive in. Tell us, I'll let you start. Tell us, you start with number 10 on the blog.
Okay, great. Yeah, what I'm referring to here is a post that's on my website, and I'm just going to use that as a structure and a guideline for what we're going to speak of. But I'm basically only just going to read like the titles, and just to refresh my memory, and what I'm going to speak on is things that are just fresh in my mind based on, you know, patterns that I've been seeing, you know, since I created this post, and things that are just fresh on my mind now, so that they may or may relate, you know, directly to each of these. But again, people can always go to that post for more information. So the number 10 was put education before specialization. And so for a lot of us, you know, that have been riding and competing for a lot of years, this seems kind of obvious. But I think a lot of people get a little misdirected, where there's a huge variance I've seen in what people's opinion and understanding of what like a really solid foundation really is. And so what one person believes is really solid could be drastically different from another person. So I think it's just important for all of us to just always be continually learning and continually growing our awareness of like how much better things can really be, and how much that would relate and improve, you know, what we might already have going on the barrel pattern, or what we're just preparing for. And so, you know, I think that a horse should be like an amazing just general riding horse before we would consider really showing them the pattern, and, you know, be just a good constructive member of equine society in general, you know, in every way imaginable, and just be solid before we would consider them, putting them under the pressures that come along with competing, especially in a time speed event. So anyway, we can move on to number 9, if that's all right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great. So the next one, I wrote, your horses are partners, regard them as such. And so when I think of this one, I think of how sometimes we, you know, we get so serious about our goals and like so drawn into like, I've got to achieve this or else. Like, we're just grasping onto it so tightly that we kind of forget that, you know, like, well, really, what's in it for our horses? Like, they oftentimes, you know, don't really like have a whole lot of say. You know, they're going out there and putting their best effort forth just for us and for our goals. And so I think it's really important to really put like their needs, you know, mentally, emotionally, physically, and really have intense like consideration and reverence for them, you know, as prey animals, as individuals, and so forth. And it's never really, when I go out to ride a colt or something, like they may be very low as far as like their education level, but it's never a like him versus me kind of dynamic. It's always like, wow, what can I help you with today? Or whenever something even frustrating comes up, it's so critical, like how we think about it and how we frame that in our mind. So instead of saying, you know, like labeling or judging the situation or even labeling or judging ourselves, it's like there's no failure, it's only feedback. So whenever there's a challenge, we just have to sit back and say, you know, how interesting, and be like fascinated instead of frustrated. And so then this just, again, it feeds into this like partnership mentality, like we're in this together.
Right. I love this. So, you know, what I love about everything in your blog is you are putting it back on the horse and the love and care of the horse. And that I've loved that about your blog.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and that's really like where I think where a lot of us start is because we just plain love horses. And sometimes that can get a little bit lost when we get really serious about competing. And well, I came across something I was reading the other day that there's this question where you ask yourself, you know, what could you do if you knew you, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? But instead of asking yourself that, reverse it and say, what would you do with your time if you knew you were going to fail anyway? And
right.
So it really makes you think like, gosh, I would still run barrels. I would still train horses because I love it that much. And I mean, that doesn't really make me any less competitive and serious about what I do, you know, and it's part for a lot of us, it's either already part of what we do for our career or we want it to be part of what we do. But at the same time, it's like we have to just remember that we do it and we chose this path because we love horses. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so number 8, it says, when things go south, take action. So what comes to my mind here is that there's this saying that says you don't want to allow your horse to be too wrong for too long. And so one of the things, the kind of hiccups that got in my way in the early stages, when I was especially when I was first starting colts, is that I kind of assumed the goal was that, like, if I could just direct their bodies around, if they would just yield and go where I wanted to direct them, then I would have everything that I needed. And so it's, you end up falling into kind of a rut of like micromanaging. And so really what you want to do, especially with young horses, is there's going to be a lot of like set it up and wait, like just give them time for their mental wheels to turn and for them to like figure out what it is you want. Otherwise you might be able to develop a horse you can kind of position everywhere, but they're always going to be waiting on you for everything, and they're not quite going to be like independent thinkers. And there really needs to be like a delicate balance there where like we need our horses to make their own good choices for themselves. And so when things go south, take action. That just means like if something is not quite feeling right, on one hand, make absolutely sure that you don't set yourself up to just for your horse to practice that over and over and over. Like if there's a problem, your horses, there's a problem at the gate or at the alley, it's like just stop entering until you like refigure some things from a foundational level and then go gradually test yourself. But if something's not working, or like basically if you tip a barrel like twice in a row, the same barrel, then, you know, it's past time to go to the practice pen and work on fixing that before you go out and test yourself again. So we just have to be really careful that repetition basically just makes habits become so much more ingrained in our horses so quickly. But again, at the same time, especially with young horses or when you're first teaching something, to not like just always be trying to control and micromanage. We have to be patient and like set it up and wait and give the horse time to think. So.
Love it. Love it. So I have a question for you real quick while you're talking about young horses. I don't know a whole lot about barrel racing, and I have 2 little girls that want to start. They started some lessons. What age of a horse would you suggest for someone who's brand new? What type of horse and how old of a horse would you look for?
Well, it's really not even so much the age of the horse, but okay. I mean, that definitely is part of a consideration because they're going to be just more seasoned and experienced and been there, done that, you know.
That's what I was thinking.
But it really, yeah. And so on the other hand, I think it's what's even more important is like looking at the horse's education and development, you know, and experience, but also looking at that individual horse's personality. Like I know... it's possible for young horses with a really great education who are just innately like, your more kind of like laid back horses, you know, just by nature that can make really great kids horses. But again, it's like, if you're going to go out and consider a younger horse, then you want to be able to trust your ability to make the judgment call on, is this horse's personality a good fit, like despite his age?
Well, that's because you don't want this to happen.
Green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on a hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close to fire.
Green on green makes black and blue. It's our favorite song here on the show because how many times have we all seen it happen?
Exactly. I was just gonna reference that. I'm glad you brought it up because I was thinking along the same thing. So.
And I don't care what discipline, right? I mean, it doesn't matter. Barrels, riding English, Western, it don't matter. That rule applies.
And so, unless you're not, like, super confident in really judging a horse's personality, then you're going to be, probably better off, you know, in going with a horse that has been there, done that, and that is older and more experienced and so forth. So I would say, you know, like, a lot of good kids horses, you know, are around 10 or older, I would say. You know, like, those are the horses that have been there, done that. But then again, like I said, there's exceptions to that based on their education and their personality. So, hope that helps.
Right. Now, are you going to want a horse that's been there, done that, as in done barrels, or one that has never done barrels? Like, I'm thinking, you know, bringing a horse in that may already have bad habits for the child, letting one learn with the child. You know, what would you think?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And in that case, I think that there are so many, like, really critical, like, body positioning things that a horse needs to learn correctly from the very beginning in order to set them up for, you know, a lifetime of success as a barrel horse.
Right.
So I think it would be better in that position. And of course, you know, you don't want to get a horse that has to develop bad habits on the barrel pattern, but try to find and go find some reputable trainers and find one that's already had really good habits established that are pretty solid, you know, and go with a horse that is going to really be able to, like, just read and match those kids and kind of, like, be at their level, you know. But I would rather put my kid on something that already really knows the correct positioning for the most part and everything, rather than, there's just so many that kids just naturally, you can't expect them to know or understand, and they're going to make mistakes, and it would just be better to have a horse that's more advanced to kind of make up for and fill in where the kid isn't as far along, you know, so.
Well, good. Okay, off subject. Let's grab your next tip.
Okay, great. So, number 7 says, care for your horse like he's already a champion. And so I think of, it's just always so amazing to me whenever, I'm in the presence of, like, you know, NFR caliber horses, and they just have, like, a completely different look about them, a different way of just carrying themselves. And I think it's like, well, yeah, these champion horses, obviously, you know, they're just born with something special. But on the other hand, it's like, oh my gosh, so much of what you see, this, like, beautiful package, has so much to do with the attention to detail and the care and the development and the training and the conditioning that they're given. And so a lot of times, like, I think that people even judge, like, a horse's looks or conformation and think, you know, oh, they'll never be anything. But, like, a horse's posture and their, you know, just the way they appear and the way they move, and so much of that can be so much changed and influenced by what we offer to them as far as their care and development. And so I think that, you know, let's not wait to until our horse shows potential until, you know, they've achieved so much to give them the very best of care. You know, like, let's structure our lives and set things up in a way that we're able to give all of our horses the very best of everything. And that includes, like, the younger horses, the prospects, or even the older horses that are retired or semi-retired and so forth, you know? So again, it's like, just like I was saying earlier about their care and making, you know, their well-being a priority, is that it's not something that let's give all horses this that are under our care versus thinking that some of them deserve it and some of them don't or something, you know, because when they have that attention to detail and that care, oh my gosh, they just blossom. You know, when we give them the best of us, they're more likely to give us the best of them. You know what I mean? So
yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So the next one, number six, said, ride the horse you're on today, not the one you were on yesterday, even if it's the same horse. So this basically just summarizes the idea that we can't make assumptions, you know, and that horses, they really do change, like as we develop them, or, you know, they have their, a lot of people say they have their good days and bad days like we do and so forth. And so we can't just, like, for example, if my horse seemed like kind of off or like kind of snorty or kind of distracted, then I would go ahead and like use my experience to like lead my horse. And then I might change the whole goal of my ride for that day based on what's going on in his world. But I have to be able to read that in my horse, and I have to be able to make adjustments. And of course, you know, a well-developed horse is going to be able to adjust to fit my situations too at times, because, you know, that's what competing is about, is being prepared to compete and be competitive at a specific time and place, right? So, exactly. You know, it's kind of like a two-way street, but we just have to always be able to read them and be willing to make adjustments that might vary a little bit off of what our goal or our intention was for that day or for that training session. You know, we might warm up a little bit differently on that day and so forth. So again, it's all about just going back to being flexible and not just making assumptions that your horse is just going to be the same all the time, you know? So, and I mean, things right. can even change in the middle of a ride or something, you know, and you might have to just redirect course. The better we are about reading our horse and making those adjustments, the quicker we can get back to business and the quicker we can get back to, you know, when we meet our horse's needs, like I was saying earlier, and they're feeling okay about things, then they're going to be more willing to come back and, you know, get on the same page with us again. So.
You know what, Heather, I wanted to say too, that this, you're talking about barrel racing. Every one of these applies to every horse discipline.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't just barrel racing. It's everything. But we've run out of time. What I'd like to do is tell people where they can go and find the rest of the tips.
Sure. Well, my website is barrelracingtips.com. And this post is called the Top 10 Barrel Racing Tips Countdown.
It's a great
one. I was going to say, I'd like to mention real quick before we go that she has three Amazon best-selling books that we will also post, so you can look those up, too, if you'd like more information.
Great gifts for Christmas, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thank you, Heather. It was great talking to you, and I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it, and it was a lot of fun. So thanks for the opportunity.
Yes, ma'am.
BarrelRacingTips.com is where you can find the website. The books are listed right there on the homepage as well. You can head off and you can get Secrets of Barrel Racing Success or one of the other books for some of your stocking stuffers this holidays. If you have a barrel racer in your life, this would be terrific. But that list definitely does apply to more than just barrel racing. I mean, you can apply that to any discipline out there. I'm a carriage driver, and all the same things apply.
Absolutely.
So, yep. Well, let's talk a little bit about one of your sponsors, Cowgirl Dreams.
Yes, Cowgirl Dreams Co. Robin Brown of Cowgirl Dreams believes every cowgirl should live life with grace, honesty, grit, and courage. She's passionate about helping fellow horsewomen believe in themselves enough to chase their dreams with fierce determination and grit. Robin shares this passion through public speaking, her blog, and her Cowgirl Dreams branded clothing line. Don't miss their 5-day Black Friday event with plenty of deals for your holiday shopping. You can find Cowgirl Dreams on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the website is cowgirldreamsco.com.
Well, and I got to tell you, Jamie, who hosts here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and the listeners all ganged up on me this year and would not let me play any Christmas music before Thanksgiving.
And I'm breaking the rules.
Well, see, this is your show, so you can determine what happens. And I just happen to agree with it. So how about that? How about we do a short Christmas song from Templeton Thompson?
Sounds Sounds like a plan.
All right, let's do Christmas Times a coming, and we'll be right back.
Can't you hear those bells? Can't you hear those bells? Can't you hear those bells? Christmas time's a-comin', Christmas time's a-comin', Christmas time's a-comin', and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's a-callin', tall pines a-hummin', 'cause Christmas time's a-comin'. Can't you hear those bells ringin', ringin'? Joy, joy, hear them singin'. When it's snowin', I'll be goin' back to my country home. 'Cause Christmas time's a-comin', Christmas time's a-comin', Christmas time's a-comin', and I know I'm goin' home. In the window, home's where the wind blows. You can't walk for running, 'cause Christmas time's a-coming. Can't you hear those bells ringing, ringing? Joy, joy, hear them singing. When it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home. Yeah! Back home when Christmas time's a-coming. Can't you hear those bells ringing, ringing? Joy, joy, hear them singing. When it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home. 'Cause Christmas time's a-coming, Christmas time's a-coming, Christmas time's a-coming, and I know I'm going. Christmas time's a-comin', Christmas time's a-comin', Christmas time's a-comin', and Lord, I'm going home.
Templeton Thompson with Christmas Time's a-comin'. Now the official first holiday song here on Horses in the Morning. And you can blame Heather. It's all her fault. I had nothing to do with it. Well, we are Horses in the Morning. You're listening to the Women in Rodeo episode that we do once a month on the fourth Tuesday of every month. And we have Heather here with us, who has an excellent Facebook page for Women in Rodeo. You can check that out as well. I also wanted to remind everybody, and especially Heather's listeners that may not know, that Monday we are doing 12 hours live. It's the Horse Radio Network Holiday Radiothon brought to you by Weatherbeta. And we are giving away over $3,000 in prizes that day. You can qualify. Just go to horseradionetwork.com, click on the banner in the middle of the page, and you can go to the Radiothon website, find out how you qualify. You can either leave us a voicemail or you can call us live that day, and one of those two things will qualify you for the over $3,000 in prizes. English, Western, doesn't matter. These prizes are for horse people. And Heather, I don't know if I got a chance to tell you, but the first interview at like 9:15 on Monday morning, November 30th, will be with Charlie Daniels. We recorded that interview about a week ago. Jamie and I got to chat with Charlie. He talked about growing up on the ranch and spending time there and his favorite things to do at Christmas and his horses and his kids. It was such a cool interview coming up on Monday's show.
So, so that, exciting. I'm jealous.
I know. I got to tell you, I was a little nervous for that one because, you know, Charlie Daniels, he's a legend. So,
he was
so nice. You know how sometimes you're nervous when you do an interview because you're thinking, oh, he's going to be rude and mean and this is going to be awful, right? and you're so afraid to be so disappointed because you have something else in your mind. He was absolutely as genuinely nice as you expect him to be.
And I would have expected that. I really would have. You know, I love following him on Twitter. He is hilarious, especially with some of his political rants. But he just seems like a big cuddly teddy bear to me.
And that's the way he came across in this interview, too. And I think he loved this interview. It seemed like he really liked it because he was able to talk about something other than music. So we really didn't talk about music at all. We talked about his life and his ranch and his horses and, you know.
I love it. I can't wait to listen.
Yeah. So it was different because, and I think, you know, he liked that. Well, just like, you know, our interview that's coming up with Bob Baffert. I think he liked that. He wouldn't stop talking because I think he was talking about things that, you know, that he doesn't get to talk about very often with the mainstream media.
Right.
Because they always ask, how do you feel? You know, well, he feels pretty good. He just, you know, won the Triple Crown and made about $1 billion this year. So, you know, we didn't ask him that question. how he feels.
Well, that is exciting. I wanted to go back to all those prizes you were giving away.
Yes.
Give us an idea of what those are. What are you giving away?
We have, you know what Cavallo boots are. We all use them for those of us that are barefoot. We use them for our horses. We're giving away 6 pairs of his boots worth over, that's a value of over $700.
Yeah. Got some Dublin boots.
We got Dublin boots, the country boots, the tall looking like Dewberry type of boots. Those are valued at like $300. Our grand prize of the day, we're going to give away prizes every hour. And then at the end of the day, so one person that's in a voicemail or called in live that day is going to win a Benefab smart sheet. That's the ceramic sheets that are worth $350. They're going to win 2 half gallons of Soar No More. They're going to win the Dublin Lifestyle boots and a Weatherbeater medium turnout blanket, all worth over $1,000 for one winner at the end of the day. So
awesome.
And by the way, you can call in.
Really?
I'm just saying, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm assuming I'll be hearing from you, Heather.
I guess I need to call in.
And we just want to hear about people's favorite holiday horsey memories. That's the whole day is just a Christmas party.
Oh, I love it. Good idea.
Well, our next guest is ready.
Well, we have Sheila Shira, Miss Rodeo Florida, joining us today. Good morning, Sheila.
Good morning.
I'm so glad that you are on here.
Yeah, because I can't think of a better state to be rodeo queen of. I'm just saying.
Exactly.
Thank you. I agree.
I try not to be biased, but it's hard.
I'm going to be biased. We all live here. We might as well say that. And by the way, we're the only ones with 80 degrees today in the entire country. So, yeah.
And am I the only one that's disappointed with that?
Yes.
I wish it was cooler too. You know, Thanksgiving should be a little bit colder.
Yeah,
I just got back from Utah where it was snowing some of the time, and then now it's hot again.
It's hot.
I just wish there could be a little bit of a happy medium for the holidays.
Yes, I agree. So, Sheila, you have quite a family history with rodeo, right? Like, a lot of your family has been very active in the rodeo industry.
Yes, my ancestors actually founded the Silver Spurs Riding Club, Silver Spurs Rodeo, back in the 1940s. The first arena was built on land donated by my great-great-uncle. Both my parents are Spurs members, and I am as well. And my dad just finished being the big boss of the Silver Spurs Rodeo. His year just ended at the end of this July, so that was really neat being able to be in the Churchill, Florida at the same time he was the president of the Silver Spurs Rodeo.
That's just amazing. That is amazing. And so you can definitely speak to the rich culture and rodeo culture that Florida has. And as a matter of fact, that's one of your main focuses, is to educate everyone on Florida's prominent agriculture and rodeo presence.
Yes, because people, you know, usually don't realize how much rodeo and how much ranch we truly have here. And while we're the state that sanctions the 5th most PRCA rodeos per year throughout the whole entire country, as well as you know, Florida is the true home of the American cattleman. Florida had cattle before any other state, and we started gathering them up and driving them to places to ship them to other, you know, export them to Cuba, drive them out to Georgia, butcher them ourselves for meat. So really, the ranching industry started in Florida as well.
Right, right. Absolutely. So you, I wanted to get into real quick about your rodeo time. What stops along your rodeo year has been your favorite stops, and what are you looking for or to going into Vegas? How have you prepared for that?
Oh, my favorite stop throughout the year. I've been a lot of places. I've been all throughout Florida, and there's rodeos in 10 states overall. But I'd say my favorite rodeo of the year, other than the Silver Spurs, would be either the Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo, because that was its first year in Kissimmee this year, or going to Cheyenne Frontier Days, because that's such a rodeo with such rich historic prominence that it was really neat to go and be a part of it. And then I leave for Las Vegas to run for Miss Rodeo America this Friday, and to prepare, you know, some of the best preparation I've got has been from traveling to all these different rodeos and state and attending state pageants, because all the things we do throughout our year are things we're doing at the pageant. So my best preparation has been going out there, really practicing it in the real setting, and as well as a lot of studying everything I can get my hands on that's rodeo-related, horse-related, or just related to current events in general.
And so you've been thrown on a lot of horses throughout your year in other states, correct? And so horsemanship, you've had a lot of practice. Yeah, good.
Yes, definitely.
Good. Current events. How do you stay? What do to stay up on all of that? Because I'm sure you're going to get some questions.
Well, I actually get a daily newsletter called The Skim that comes every day to my email, and I read up on that, and it gives a very good overview of things that have been going on in the world, as well as I pay attention to the news, listen to some news radio stations sometimes when I'm on long drives. I pay attention to, you know, the articles that pop up online. I've been watching the presidential debate, things like that. Just paying attention, extra attention to what's been going on all around the world, and especially in the United States the past year.
I got to ask you, though, Sheila, at some points, they ask you a question. Do you think in your mind, oh, that's a dumb question? Why are they asking me that? That has to go through your mind sometimes.
Oh, yes. I've gotten some extremely off-the-wall questions. And, you know, sometimes I just wonder the thought process that the person went through to get that question. But sometimes people purposely ask questions like that
to
see how you handle getting something and how you think on your feet.
I was actually trying to think of one that I could ask you right now that's totally off the wall, but I couldn't even come up with one. So it's like,
So it wouldn't be a pageant question, but while you've been traveling, has there been questions from people at rodeos or fans or whatever asking you something about Florida? What's been the number one question that people ask you about Florida?
Well, the main comment I get is they see that I'm from Florida and they're like, you have cows, you have rodeo, and then kind of, you know, the main one I get, which I'm always like, yes, actually, we had cattle first, and we have more rodeos than nearly every other state, all except for four others, because we have the fifth most professional rodeos.
Well, let's
and
face it.
Actually surprises
let's,
people and
yeah,
starts
let's
the conversation.
Face it. They only know us for two things, Sun and Mickey Mouse. They know those two things.
Yes.
What they don't know is Mickey has a great big farm right there behind the castle. That's what they don't know. Yeah.
So how do you, you know, Rodeo Queens, Miss Rodeo Florida, always does a great job getting the word out about that. But what do you think would be another great way to change that perception of Florida and to get the word out that we're more than Mickey Mouse and Sun?
Well, other than, you know, people such as Miss Rodeo Florida and other people who are kind of ambassadors of the state going out and just really educating people, I'd like it if more people came here and wanted to come here and do things other than go to a theme park or
right.
go to the beach. They wanted to come here and people, like, here showed them the real Florida. So I think that would really help if there was a lot more publicity for the fact that we have so much more than just what people think of whenever they think of a destination to come to.
And I think that we'll see a difference with the Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo being here. I think we will see that help change that perception over the next few years, because I think we were contracted for them for 10 years, right?
Yes, 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that will help.
And I agree.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, tell us a little bit about the pageant and how crazy your schedule is going to be when you get there.
Oh, my goodness. Well, like I said, I fly in this Friday. I fly out of Orlando, a nonstop flight, get into Las Vegas about 8 o'clock at night, get all my stuff moved in. I'll have all day Saturday to kind of recoup, study, get my stuff together. Sunday morning, we get up, we go to check-in, and we get a current events question on stage right off the bat, the first time the judges ever get to see us in person. And we have a kickoff party that night. And then all for the next 7 days, we have horsemanship, we have multiple interviews, a written test, we have multiple luncheons and dinners where we answer questions on stage, we have to give an extemporaneous speech.
It's crazy. I don't know how you girls have time to even breathe or sleep.
Oh, yeah. 5 a.m. Wake-up calls and then rehearsals that go until about midnight at night every night through December 6th. So,
right. And just for listeners to know, you guys do not bring your own horses, right? You're thrown on a horse that you've never ridden before, correct?
Right. We get to ride two different horses for two separate patterns. We don't get to ride them. We don't get to warm them up. We don't even get to watch them get warmed up. We get up on them, and the first steps we take on that horse are we enter the arena, and we're being judged.
Wow.
Yep. That's why horsemanship is so important. Yep.
Wow.
Well, yeah, pretty impressive. Well, I thank you so much for coming on the show today. And real quick before you go, I had a couple Thanksgiving questions for you. I want to know your favorite Thanksgiving food and your favorite Thanksgiving tradition.
Oh, well, I guess my favorite Thanksgiving food, I love it all, but the best part is the gravy. I pour that on everything.
There's a true Southern girl for you.
And my favorite Thanksgiving tradition is just going out and spending time in the woods. We always, I'm a big hunter, and we always go out, you know, usually hunt Thanksgiving morning, and then sometimes we end up, you know, helping brand some calves before we even get to Thanksgiving. So I like just being outside with family on Thanksgiving.
I got to tell you, if that was your question about the Thanksgiving food, I would have given you the win there. I mean, who has ever said gravy before? That is so Southern girl. I love that.
Well, hopefully they asked me that out of Mr. Rodeo America.
There you go.
Personality is one of the events we're scored on.
Well, I love it. We wish you the best at the pageant this year. And how long are you there? When do you go home? Or when do you leave?
Well, I didn't buy a return ticket because if I win Mr. Rodeo America, I stay through this. I guess the goal, I'm hoping to win. So I'm hoping I stay out there a really long time. And then if I don't, I'll stay a few days.
If we don't win, we'll be seeing her as a server at one of the casinos there because she won't be coming back.
So. Yeah, you have no ticket.
Oh, I'll
yeah.
be coming back. I'll get a ticket.
I was going to say, Lorinda Van Newkirk, Soul Sister, we both have a Women in Rodeo mixer coming up on the 11th. So, when you win, you'll have to stop by and come and do some pictures with us.
Definitely, yes, of course.
Awesome, awesome. Well, you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and thanks for coming on the show, Sheila.
Oh, thank you for having me. You'll have a wonderful Thanksgiving, too.
You too. Bye-bye.
She was so nice.
She is. She's awesome.
I loved her answer. She's good at those questions.
Great.
And that was kind of a rodeo question, wasn't it?
Yes, she's quick on her feet.
That was funny. That was good. And I know our next guest is getting ready here, but I wanted to mention that you can find Miss Rodeo Florida at missrodeoflorida.com. So if you're wondering what Sheila looks like or what she looks like on a horse, you can find that at missrodeoflorida.com. And it truly is the best state to be rodeo queen of. Just saying.
Absolutely.
It's just my opinion.
You love our Florida gal.
That's right. Speaking of Lorinda, she's ready.
Good morning, Lorinda.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
We're good. And we have Lorinda. She's Miss Soul's sister here with us today. So you're going to share. You have some exciting changes and a lot going on that you were going to share with us. I'm excited to hear all about it.
Yes, I know. I sense your hesitation when I wasn't from Gypsy Soul anymore, and we've merged to Soul Sister. Yes, Amy and I have had some major changes over the last few weeks. Not to get into any great, you know, huge details, but our main investor wanted to make some changes with our company. So as of the month of November, everybody that are that own a lot of Gypsy Soul or they are a huge Gypsy Soul fan, go to the dealers and buy the product because Gypsy Soul will be no more. So it's been very emotional and very tough. But in business, you know, you have to take risks and you have to, you know, do things that sometimes you don't know if it's going to be the right choice for you and your company. But Amy and I were willing to take the risk to see if the company would grow and could, you know, turn into, you know, a huge brand. And, you know, 18 months into it, that's not the case for us. And it's a little disheartening, but Amy and I truly believe in our faith and we truly believe, God has our back and there's a reason why there's going to be this change. And already the outpouring from friends and family and fans of Gypsy Soul has been tremendous and just so touching. And there's already, you know, there's been so many phone calls and opportunities for us already, which has been super exciting. So, you know, you read all the quotes on Facebook and social media and they really start hitting home. But it's true. You know, you can't live in the past. You've got to move forward. And as bad as it hurts, and, you know, Gypsy Soul was our baby that we started 13 years ago and, you know, brought it, you know, I used the credit card to finance the first things we developed and, you know, to take it into a huge brand where it is today is pretty phenomenal. So regardless of the outcome, you know, we did something fabulous and the mantra that Gypsy Soul lives by will never go away. You know, we're women that live by our own rules. We believe in each other. We support each other. And with or without glittery flip-flops, that will never change.
Well, Lorinda, I got to tell you, my wife and I, before we started Horse Radio Network, had a few businesses along the way. All entrepreneurs do. And some made it, some didn't. And so we've been in the situation that you're in. And what we always looked at it was an opportunity for the next thing. What you learned from your previous business, it taught you what you're going to need to know in your next one. And that only helps. I mean, it only helps you be where you're supposed to be in the future.
Yes, yes, I totally agree. And it's, you know, most people are shocked or there's that odd silence.
Yeah.
Odd silence.
I know that silence.
I was going to say, you know, myself watching businesses and out networking and talking to people like Glenn and you that have had businesses, some of the most successful people I know are people who have had many businesses and have grown, just like Glenn said, or everything changes every few years. You know, something changes with their business. So you are loved and you are a very bright woman and you are very successful. So I can't wait to see what the next season is and what Soul Sisters will do. So it's all good.
No, that's, and that's what everybody keeps saying. Well, I just can't, you know, we're so sorry and we love Gypsy Soul, but what are you going to do next? And I told Amy, I said, oh my goodness, we really,
the pressure's on.
What if we don't? Yes, I don't know what that is, but you know, we're going into this, you know, the last month of the year and, we're doing the Soul Sister Fashion Show with MGM. That's every other night in the Gold Buckle Zone at 9:15, and it's going to be one heck of a show. Pretty exciting with MGM exploding their Gold Buckle Zone into 40,000 square feet this year. I mean, it's a full-blown
place. Wow. What has it been in the past?
It's just been kind of in the casino, you know, where they kind of just made it work. So
it's huge.
I mean, they have pulled out all the stops, and that is even including with us. I mean, what they've done, you know, to bring us in and have us basically part of their entertainment has been phenomenal. We also are doing the Western Horseman Makeover, and the lady that won that, once we interviewed her and got her full story, once we picked her as a winner, she
She's a cancer survivor, and her cancer has returned for the third time. Single mom, just a phenomenal lady out of Southern California. So we're flying her into Vegas. She's going to be in the fashion show. She's going to get to go shopping with me and Amy for a full day.
Wow.
She's going to go to the MGM salon for a full day. And then ProVision, Bob Tallman, you know, the big time announcer from ProVision, has donated two seats in his suite for her for pink night, cancer night, tough enough to wear pink night at the NFR for her. So that, I mean, the giving for that has been fantastic. And then we did, Amy and I tricked out a trailer for Durham Trailer Sales here in Trailer Ranch here in Weatherford. That's a Bloomer Outlaw that is, I'm posting sneak peeks all the time, but it's pretty cool. So it's really fun,
those,
you know.
I've been eating all those sneak peeks up. I can't wait to actually see it. I'm so excited.
You get to walk in it. Yeah, no. It's so, you know, to finish out the year, you know, Amy and I, you know, we live by our word. And we gave our word that we would do these events with Gypsy Soul or with not. You know, at the end of the day, she's the Gypsy and I'm the Soul. And whether that's Amy and Lo or Gypsy Soul or Soul Sisters, we gave our word. And we're going to, you know, finish out the year in 2015 and 2016, the sky's the limit.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I love it. I really just can't wait to see what happens. I wanted to touch real quick on, you and I have a Women in Rodeo mixer coming up too.
Yes, I can't wait.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited. So that's going to be December 11th. We talked about it a little bit at the beginning of the show, and we're going to run it 2:30 to 5, correct?
Yes, yes. We're going to have it at the MGM Signature Towers, and we'll be releasing which room and which tower that will be in, and we'll have some fun stuff and great things to visit about, some food and cocktails. I think it'll be a great time.
Absolutely. I can't wait. I can't wait. So anything else you want to share today, or anything else on your mind?
No, just, you know, I know people out there, you know, going into the holidays, you know, or, you know, sometimes it makes you things a little tougher on you.
Right.
And, you know, you got to reach deep and pull your boots on, or put your big panties on, or whatever you want to call
panties,
it.
That's right.
Yes, that's right.
You know, everybody
right.
says big girl panties. I've changed it to big girl chaps.
That's right. Thank you. Yes, that's right. That's what I'm going to put on. You know, but just, you know, you've got to just keep going, and every day's a new day, and surround yourself with people that genuinely care and support and love you, and it'll give you your power back. So, and I love you guys doing this radio show, and us having the mixer out there. There's just so many positive things in the world that you can, you know, be a part of. And so you need to find those groups or those people and just get involved.
Well, you've been a blessing to me. And so I am here to 100% support you. When are you heading out? You're welcome. When are you here heading out to Vegas? When do you leave?
I am leaving Sunday. I've been packing this morning. I've been posting on my Snapchat all my stuff I've been packing. So everything's getting loaded on a Bloomer trailer, headed out on, I have to have it loaded Wednesday night. So I'm packing all my bags and all the fashion show. And I think me personally, I'll have 4 to 5 bags of
stuff.
Oh my
God.
I was just going to say, how do you guys fly? How do cowgirls fly? There must be 12 bags.
That's awesome. How are you going to do that?
Yeah. So it's getting on the trailer.
She had to bring a horse trailer to pack all her stuff. That's how she did it.
Yes. Well, yeah, when you're in Vegas for 50, you know, I get there the 29th through the 13th, and you know, you can't wear one pair of boots or one belt and my hats. I mean, I have all my great outfits.
Are you guys like me?
I
spent 2 weeks there one time. I had two conventions right in a row. So I actually never went home. I just spent the 2 weeks there. And by the time I left after 14 days in Vegas, I heard dinging for a month. You just hear that ding, 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 ding. It just never goes away.
Well, that's why I always stay over. I have a rule when I go, if I stay less than 4 days, I stay at MGM. If I stay more than 4 days, I stay at Signature Towers, because it's like you know, apartments or condos.
Yeah, no casino,
you
right?
Never have to go, right, no smoking, no casino. So, yeah. You know, that's kind of my rule.
Smart move.
Kitchen and everything. So, yeah, yes. So it's really good. So, but no, we fly out the 29th and we have our first fitting the 30th and dress rehearsal the 2nd and then the first show's the 3rd. So
and MGM, I mean, busy. That is crazy because, you know, that is one of the biggest hotels. I mean, it takes you a day just to walk the whole hotel. I mean, it's huge. It's so cool that you get to do it there. That's really neat.
Yeah, no, it's been great. And the everyone, you know, that we've worked with at MGM has been phenomenal.
Well, good. Well, good. What do you have on your plans for Thanksgiving?
We actually have a bunch of us friends go to, it's out here in Silverado. It's a place called Silverado, like a housing development. It's really beautiful. And a friend of ours owns what he calls the Cantina. So there's about 30 to 40 of us that all go there. And my husband and the guy that owns it, and my husband's cousins come from Nebraska, and they fry up or deep fry like 6 turkeys in different flavors. And
oh,
so it's an all day,
too. Awesome.
All day ordeal. So no, it's great. It's relaxing. And all the work's just not on one person, you know, especially
right.
when we're getting ready to leave for NFR, it kind of makes it really nice. So we have family coming in actually today and then they'll leave and I'll leave and off we go.
Good. Maybe
so,
you'll
no.
get some downtime
yeah.
before you fly out.
Never.
Well, me on the other hand,
all my
cook. I do all the cooking. My husband fries the turkey, but I do everything else. So I'm starting to cook
you're
today.
Good. You're better than me. Good luck. Good luck. I will be with you in spirit. I'm actually going to take off today and go to Abilene. And I've been wanting to get together with Larry D. Guy, the Rope Like a Girl lady.
Uh-huh.
And I'm actually this afternoon going to go breakaway rope with her today. So it's going to be kind of nice. I've been planning this for about,
cool.
I've been planning this for about 3 months and keep having to cancel it. So I am going today for sure.
Well, good. So
we'll
have a good time.
Well, you guys have a great day.
Thank you. And happy
thank
Thanksgiving.
You.
And Lorinda,
same
hang in there.
Guys.
I hear good things coming.
Oh.
I feel it. Before you leave Vegas, a good thing's going to happen. And it could be that you just win the jackpot. One or the other. Something's going to happen.
I mean, that would be fine. I mean, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
You know, however the Lord wants to shower me with gifts, I will accept them. That probably doesn't sound very good, but no.
No, but what the heck?
Amy, you know, we're good. We truly are. We're in a good place, and it's a new chapter in our life, and it's okay. We're fine with it. So, thank you guys. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for having me on the show.
All right, you too, Lorinda.
Yes, ma'am. Take care.
We are ready to jump, if you want to, right into your next guests.
Okay, so we have, from Miss Rodeo America, we have Deb Dilley. I hope I'm saying that right. She is the Scholarship Foundation board member, and we have Miss Rodeo America, Lauren Heaton. You ladies on with us?
I am.
All right.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so glad to have you both on. So I want to jump in. Deb, you are the Scholarship Foundation, a board member with the Scholarship Foundation. Can you talk a little bit about that and tell us all about it?
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity to visit about it. The Scholarship Foundation was founded in 1998, and I was one of the original members and have been on the board ever since. I'm currently their treasurer. Our foundation began from a generous donation from the Wrangler Corporation, so Wrangler has always been a great partner of ours. And we have been able to build that small seed money into a large scholarship fund that we have that we give to the girls. This year we're going to make available over $101,000 to be made available for the girls in scholarships. One of our longtime goals had been to make every girl have a scholarship just for coming to the pageant. And this year, again, every girl that comes to the pageant will get automatically a $1,000 scholarship from us. And the amounts just go up from there. I'm guessing Lauren probably received somewhere in the neighborhood of $20,000 to $25,000 for winning Miss Rodeo America and all of the categories with it. So it really is a wonderful program. We try to raise a lot of money, and we have great corporate sponsors.
That is phenomenal. I had no idea that each girl received a scholarship. That is amazing.
That was absolutely one of our longtime goals, and we started out small at $500, and then last year was able to up it to $1,000.
I think that's wonderful. Well, good. So you have quite a few events going on during the pageant, and a couple of them that I wanted you to touch on was the Bucks for Bags auction, and also I believe it's new, the Justin Boot Parade. Tell us about those.
Right. We're really excited about these events. Bucks for Bags we have done for several years. It is one of our main money makers, along with a raffle that we do. And also we are going to be auctioning a trailer that's been donated by Camping World. But Bucks for Bags, the girls all design or buy or have designed for them a purse or bag or rolling bag or some kind of briefcase or some type of bag. They can put anything in that bag that they want, but it must fit in that bag. And then the girls auction them during the pageant. And so this year we will be having that auction. It's going to be held over at Cowboy Christmas. It's going to be on Saturday, December 5th from 2 to 4 p.m. So if anyone happens to be at Cowboy Christmas and would like to stop in, they can see wonderful bags and have a chance to purchase those bags. Leading us into that is going to be what we're terming a new thing, and we don't know whether we're going to do it again, but we're really excited about it this year, and it's called the Justin Boot Parade. Justin, one of our great corporate sponsors, has given all of the girls a pair of boots and told them to bling them up or do whatever they want to those boots. So the girls will be wearing their Justin boots and we'll be in the boot parade. I'll take them all through Cowboy Christmas. We'll end over at the stage where the auction is going to take place, and then the girls will auction their bags. So it's really just going to be kind of a fun afternoon. That boot parade is going to start at 1:30, and it'll start at the booth, the Miss Rodeo America Scholarship Foundation booth at Cowboy Christmas, where our trailer will also be on display.
I love it. I think it sounds fun. I think that will draw some attention, having the boot parade like that. That's awesome.
Well, that's what we're hoping for.
And so I want to spend a little bit of time with Lauren. Lauren, I'm so sad to say that it's probably your last time that you'll be on the show. And how do you feel about that? How's it feel coming into the pageant, you know, knowing that a new lady will be crowned?
Oh, it's so bittersweet. You know, just listening to Deb talk about the events of the pageant flashes back to last year and remembering competing. And it's so hard to believe it has been a year since then. But, you know, it's been incredible. I've approached this entire year of just taking it day by day and fully appreciating every event I got to be a part of as Miss Rodeo America and going out with the pageant and the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo. I think it's going to be a fantastic last 2.5 weeks of my reign. And I'm so excited to see who the next girl will be.
Oh, well, I love that. Give us a little bit of a recap. You know, I can't even, you have done so much. You went to Australia. I can't even begin to name all the places. Australia was really cool to watch all that go on. So give us a recap of some of your highlights.
Oh, well, obviously Australia was a huge, huge part of my year. It was something I was really looking forward to and hoping that we could make happen. And I was so fortunate to be able to travel with Miss Rodeo Canada and Miss Rodeo Australia while we were over there for the National Finals Rodeo. And that really was just such a neat experience, because to be able to promote the PRCA and the Miss Rodeo America organization on a global level among beside two other national queens was such a phenomenal media outreach trip for that. So to really get more information out about our wonderful PRCA and our organization to other countries was really, it was incredible. I can't imagine representing Miss Rodeo America on any bigger level than on a global level. So that was really incredible. But, you know, I also remember all the really small town rodeos that I went to and the local pageants I got to be a part of and meet girls at. And there's just every event holds something near and dear to my heart from this year. And that's really what I'm going to take away, is that every event gave me a different moment, a different memory to look back on after this year.
Oh, I just can't imagine how it has been. You have lived an amazing year. going back to Australia real quick, it's always been on my bucket list, but the older I've gotten, the more I have seen all of these scary posts about all the critters. Did you run into any critters while you were there?
Oh my gosh. Thankfully not. I have an incredible fear and phobia of snakes.
Me?
And my entire family does not believe that I was going to the number one country with all the most poisonous snakes in the world. But, you know, they were, I'm not going to say, we were on quite a few nature hikes, and I did a lot of stomping and clapping as we were hiking to ensure that. But I'm going to go with my expert skills, or what kept me from seeing them. But luckily, we stayed safe. They were really great. We had some phenomenal tour guides. Actually, you know, Deb Dilley actually has gotten to go before with Miss Radio America. So it's fun to look back and share kind of the memories that the Miss Radio America organization has had in Australia. But I have plenty for the book for after this year to look back on.
Well, awesome. Very good. Very good. Miss Deb, I want to give you a chance to wrap up. Is there anything you would like to say before we wrap up?
You know, I just want to say that we really appreciate all of the support that's given to the Miss Rodeo America Scholarship Foundation. You know, we try to grow it bigger and better for all of these girls, and I'm so grateful. Lauren has done such a wonderful job this year, and I am glad that she has been able to benefit from our scholarship funds, as have many other young ladies, and I hope that it only grows bigger and better in the future. Thank you so much for allowing me to come on and visit a little bit about Scholarship Foundation.
Yes, ma'am, you're very welcome. And Lauren, I have to say to you, you've done an outstanding job representing Miss Rodeo America and the rodeo industry. And I want to thank you for the time you took with me with interviews and blogs and you know, doing that with me when you had such a busy schedule. And I want to wish you many blessings as you set out on your next adventure. I'm sure whatever you do will just be amazing.
Well, thank you, Heather. I really appreciate all your support. You know, you've been able to showcase the Miss Rodeo America organization so amazingly this year. We really appreciate you giving us so much time on your show and time out of your busy life as well. It's really beneficial to both of us, and we really appreciate that partnership, Heather. It's been fantastic. I've loved working with you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, you both of you, I hope you have a fabulous Thanksgiving, and hope to see you in Vegas.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too. Take care.
Bye, Heather.
Bye-bye.
We never got to ask Lauren what her favorite Thanksgiving food was.
No, I messed up. Thanks for pointing that out.
I wanted to see if it was going to be gravy, and then I would know it was conspiracy.
Well, so two messes up. I forgot to ask her that, and then I asked Miss Rodeo Florida when she's coming home from the pageant. How stupid was that? Oh, well.
You'll have this. Hey, we're lucky we did a show at all today.
I know.
Well, and it was a good... See, it turned out just fine, didn't it? All that panicking before the show started. But I think Santa needs to bring you a new computer.
I think so, too. I will be telling Santa. I'm calling him when we hang up.
Yes, either that or you need to drop some money on the slots when you're out there in Vegas. One or the other.
Oh, no. That's one thing I do not do.
Jennifer has a thing where when we go to Vegas, she does one thing a day, and once she'll like go put a dollar in the dollar slot machine, or she'll go put, you know, $5 down on a roulette number. And the one time we went out there, the one week, every morning when we were on our way out to sightsee or do whatever, she would do that, and every morning she won. And we paid for our food and our entertainment for the whole trip with her winnings from one bet every morning. So,
well, that's a good strategy. Maybe I need to try that.
Yeah, well, that, I don't think it's going to work for everybody. I think we just got
lucky. But I could try.
You can certainly try. It doesn't cost a lot when you only do one. It's when you hang around for an hour or two. Yeah.
Yeah, the takeaway message here is you play one.
One.
That's the takeaway message, not the win part.
She actually was the only one I've ever seen win. If you've been to Vegas, you know the huge slot machines that they have, like, at the ends, where they stand about 10 feet tall, and they have the huge 3-foot handle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Because
they have them at every casino in Vegas, and she put, what was it, $5 in it? And we ended up winning almost, like, $70.
Wow.
With that one pull. So she's the only one I ever saw win anything on those big slot machines.
On the big ones. Very good. Very good.
Because people just play that one because it's fun. But
exactly.
Yeah. I'm jealous. You know, it's going to be so fun to go out there and do what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm excited. Hopefully next year I can spend a little more time there. This year our time was cut short. But still, I'm so glad I get to go, and I'm glad I got the passes. So... hopefully I'll have some exciting stuff to post. And
yeah, do a bunch of recordings for December show.
Yeah.
And we want to hear you record a cowboy, too. You got to find a cowboy. Get an interview with a cowboy, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Jamie will be back tomorrow morning. And you can find Heather. Where can they find you?
I am on Facebook at Women in Rodeo and Instagram, Twitter, and, of course, the womeninrodeo.com website.
And you can find all of Heather's past episodes. Just go to horsesinthemorning.com and search for Women in Rodeo. It'll bring up all the past episodes if you want to take a listen back. You can also, the best way to listen to the recorded version of Horses in the Morning or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network is to download our free app. Just go to the App Store, iOS or Android, and search for Horse Radio Network. Download the free app. It's the simplest, easiest way to listen to our shows. And we'll be back again tomorrow morning, the last show this week before the Thanksgiving holiday here in the United States, and then Black Friday on Friday. But we'll be back. Jamie will be here, and we're doing really bad ads tomorrow, so we'll have a great prize for you. And get your ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. So we're doing it a little early this week, but we didn't want to leave you without some bad ads before the holidays. Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see you, everybody.